We started kind of in the middle, but we're not going to go all the way back to where this thing starts to go. Jesus is kind of chiding the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they are acting more important than they truly are. They really felt like they were the cream of the crop, that they didn't sin, that they were God's anointed, and so that everybody had to live up to their standard. He also noticed when he was at a banquet that there were people who were rushing to get to the good seats. Have you ever gone to like a wedding or to a banquet somewhere and you see the tables that are down front and you would like to be up front? Have you ever gone rushing up to sit right in the front row only to have them tell you, "I'm sorry, these are reserved"? Yeah, I learned that when I was young and cocky. I'm not that way anymore. But I learned the hard way that basically it's better to take the back seat. It's better to go last in a dinner. It's better to go last and let other people go first. Because at that point, then, if there's any honor due you, it will be given by the person who's the host of the banquet. And so Jesus is going to try to teach a story based on this scene of what's going on with these Pharisees. And so he tells a story that he's not only just found in Luke, it's also in Matthew 22. Now, Matthew 22 doesn't just say that a king gave a banquet. He says that a king gave a banquet for his son. You get the ramifications of that. For his son. It says that he sent invitations to everybody throughout the kingdom. He sent them out. That's one time. Once the table's set and he's looking out, he sees that there's nobody there. And so he sends his servants out to go re-remind the people that he invited in the first place. That's twice. They come back and they give him some excuses. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. It says here that in verse, come now, everything's ready. It says in verse 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, "I just bought a field and I need to go see it. Please excuse me." Now, Gwen's in real estate. Gwen makes sales. Have you ever found anybody to put down a huge asking price for a piece of property without seeing it or doing any investigation whatsoever? Yeah. You have.
Yeah.
Lately. Yeah.
Especially lately.
They haven't even looked online to see where it is. No, I don't believe that. No, they have to do some investigation. Yeah, there are people like, you know, every week I'm getting, "Hey, we'd like to give you a cash offer on your house." How many people have cash offers coming all the time? Yeah, "We want to buy your house." Yeah, right. You don't want to give me what I want for it. But see, this is the thing. They've done investigation. Florida's a hot place to be. We know that for an absolute fact. There's people up north who want to make investments, and there's people who do that. Personally, I've never made out really, really big on that. But it's okay. There are people smarter at it than me. But you don't buy a piece of property sight unseen or not doing an inquiry to at least know what it's going to be like when you pay your money. And so this guy gives this lame excuse to the king who's giving a banquet for his son. "I just bought a field, a piece of property. Now I need to go and see it." And he ends with the three words, "Please excuse me." In other words, my money making, my business, the things that I am doing to prosper me personally, come before your son's party. The second one comes and says, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out." Now, When you buy oxen, it takes two oxen to be yoked together so that you can plow straight. All right? Now, just like people, oxen have personality. You know, I don't know what makes them. I'm not a cow expert. My daughter might know this. Maybe one has a leaning towards the left, and the other one has a propensity to follow and not lead at all. And so wherever this one goes, you know, the other one kind of follows. So pretty soon you're going down like this. In other words, when you are going to buy a pair of oxen, you need to try them out to make sure that they're going together work, whether this way or this way, that they're going to row a straight hoe row. Did I say that right? You need to make sure that they're going to do it straight. So before you lay down cash money, you've got to try them and test them out to make sure that you're going to get something that's going to work. You don't buy a vehicle from Todd Wade Enterprises unless you fire it up and it goes vroom. Right, Todd? So the point there is that he just gave another lame brain excuse. But he adds, just like the other, please. So that's going to work. Please, King, excuse me. The last one says, I just got married, so I can't come. When you think about this one, this is the worst of the three. Why? Well, it's the king. And the banquet is for the son. And when you have a man and woman get together, if I invite Todd, I'm also going to get Corey. Unless Corey doesn't want to go and she says, I don't want to go. And then Todd says, I'm sorry, I can't. But the point is when you invite one, you get the other. And so what this guy is giving a lame brain excuse that's not true, because she would be perfectly willing or welcome at the king's banquet. But this guy doesn't even say, please excuse me. What he is saying is, my thing is more important than your thing. You get it? So now you know that when you read this story, you can see these aren't just thrown out there. These are thought through processes that people really think that they get an excuse from the king, and they don't really need to go. So then Jesus tells the story that the king gets angry. So angry that he says, look, I've got all this food prepared. The tables are set. Everything's ready to go. The band's ready to play. The dance floor is warmed up. Let's go. Let's have a party. Go out. Invite anybody you can that you see. And so they go rushing out. Come on, man. Free party. Free party. Free food. Free lobster and filet. Come on, man. I'm dancing all night. Anything you want to eat and drink. All yours. Free. Come on. We've done that here, actually. We've actually put on the sign, free free dinner, come on, free pool party. Remember we did that, Frank? Free pool party, y'all come, free. Nobody came. They don't want to be associated with the church, I guess. When they don't show up, he says, go out and bring in the people that are lame, the people that are sick, the people who can't even get a ride, and you bring them here. I want my place full. I don't care who that it is. Get him in here. Let's have a party. Well, we know who's speaking because it's in red letters. So who's talking?
Jesus.
Who's he referring to as far as the king's son? Himself. Who's the king?
God.
Who are the people that were initially invited?
Jews.
The Jews were initially invited. They were the ones that God said, of the world, everyone will be blessed or cursed because of you. And so he gave them prophecies that said in the Old Testament for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
Look,
Messiah is coming. These are the things that he is going to do to prove who he is. These are things that he's going to be, what he's going to look like. This is going to be miracles that he's going to do. This is going to be him. Prepare, get ready. And they turned it into a whole system of religious stuff. And when Jesus showed up, they had it so distorted, they didn't even see him. They didn't even recognize him. Does he have an excuse to say what he says? Absolutely. He's been trying to reach these people for thousands of years, and they have said, no thank you. Some of them are even rude. They don't even give an excuse. They just say, I ain't coming. You turn your Bibles to 14:25. Jesus has the attention of people now. Remember when he was saying before, don't tell anybody that I healed you. Don't let anybody know that I did that for you. Keep it quiet. Remember? Well, the reason was because he knew doggone well what was going to happen, and he needed to pace himself because he's trying to teach these disciples how they're going to lead when he's gone. Right? He knew that the crowds would go crazy with trying to bring them to get free food and healing from every disease. And now they're there. Everywhere he goes, Jesus is surrounded by crowds. A large crowd was traveling with Jesus. And he stopped and turned to them and said this. For all you people who think Jesus is just a sweet, loving, he's just such a nice guy, like Gandhi. I want you to read what he's going to say. He stops, turns around, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Does that sound like a sweet, loving guy who's just trying to just make everybody happy? If he was just a guy, he'd be arrogant. If he was just a person, you would think, well, I don't like the color of your house. And I don't like filet mignon the way you cook it. But he has done everything he possibly could to get their attention. He's now even gone out to the point when he sent all the prophets in the past. And you can look up the prophecies. You can see. I love to tell the story when I was in Israel and I saw Qumran. Remember that, Greg? When you stand there, you see that way up there on the mountain. I mean, you wouldn't want to even walk out there to go check it out. It's like, there's nothing there. You have to walk through all the rocks and there's no trees. It's not a scenic view. It's disgusting. It's not mountain rough. You get them. There's a hole up there where there's a cave. When they found that just before Jesus was starting his ministry, they had found an exact replica that was literally like a Xerox copy of the book of Isaiah that had been written almost 700 years before Jesus even came. Every letter written exactly the same it was from Isaiah's hand. People say, well, you know, the Bible, it's just a bunch of words put together. Yeah, it gets changed. No, it doesn't get changed. Every letter. And he had told those prophets, this is what's going to happen because you didn't listen to me. I'm going to send people and they're going to come and you're going to be taken away from your land if you don't listen. They didn't listen. I'm coming, remember? I told you I'm coming. They didn't listen. So he came. He sent Babylon and they took them out and made them slaves. He said to them, I want you now to go out and get anybody you can to pay attention. And I want you to make them come. Do you see Jesus saying that to you? I want you to go out there and make these people come to my banquet. Does that make sense? Do you feel like you need to go out onto the street and grab people by the lapels and drag them in here and say, now sit down and you're going to do this or else?
Yeah.
That I come close. I come close. But God doesn't want me to do that, and he doesn't want you to do that. The word literally means not make them like that. It says implore. Does everybody know what implore means?
Beg.
Beg. explain, do everything you can to try to let these people know. It's critically important because the direction they are going is not going to be good. Implore them. This last Wednesday when I passed out that true-false test, and I sent it out to everybody, I told the folks on FLAP I wanted to start a new kind of a term here, and you know me, so it's not going to be offensive to you. It might be to somebody who's visiting. But, you know, if you hear me say something up here you don't think is right, instead of saying BS, just say bonsai. You call me on it and say, I don't believe that. And so basically I gave the true-false test. Most everybody said, bonsai. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Until I sent it out to everybody and I gave them the verses. Most every one of those statements were spoken by Jesus Christ himself. So how do we reconcile that? How do we reconcile that Jesus said, you're going to be judged based on the thoughts of your mind? You're going to be judged by the secrets that you hold. You're going to be judged by how much you give to other people. You're going to get to heaven or hell based upon what you think, do, and say. Does that make sense? Does that fit and work with what Jesus is trying to say, if you'll come to me? You see, he still can't be quiet. He's always...
The video.
You see, the Jews had a literal kingdom that they were looking for. They were living under the oppression of Rome. Because they didn't listen to what God had told them to do through Moses and through the law, and they got away from it, and they went into the land that God gave them as a blessing, and they listened to the people who were living there instead of winning them over or kicking them out and killing them all. They yielded to their religion. So now they found themselves under a tyrannical rule of Rome. But they're still holding on to that promise that God said, I'm going to send a Messiah, and he is going to come, and he is going to rule with a rod of iron, and he's going to get rid of all the oppression, and he's going to set a kingdom up, and you're going to rule and reign with him. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're wanting. And that's not what they're getting. Because Jesus went on to die. They didn't anticipate that. They wanted him to rule. They did not foresee in the future that he had to die to pay for the sin of everybody else who before him made the promise. He had to pay for the sin, past, present, and future, so that those who would receive the free gift might get into a kingdom that's down the road. You and I have a particular problem, though. Because we're on this side of the video with the ding, good enough. We understand that because Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he died for my sins, lived a sinless life because he was God's Son, paid the penalty for my failure, and is the only perfect sacrifice, read Hebrews, that when I receive that free gift, I now become a son. And I'm not promised a kingdom that's perfect here with all kinds of goodies. I'm promised later the kingdom of heaven when it comes here. We might be living in a time where he'll come and get us. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Or we might be living in a time where we'll all be going crucified out front. Either way, we still get the kingdom. But there's a problem with that because sometimes we take for granted the ding, 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 ding. We forget how expensive our salvation truly was. We forget what Christ had to do to pay the penalty for my sin. And because of that, we just kind of go through life going, yeah, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I say. It's all okay. Jesus took care of it. And I'm just telling you today, during this Lenten season,
I'm getting this
kind of ding in my head that's saying,
Some of y'all
are not paying attention. You've been giving God excuses as to why you don't need to do the thing He asks you to do. Can you truly say that you have been imploring the people in your world to come to Christ? That you keep poking them, that you don't get tired of poking them. And if they get mad, so well, they get mad. I don't care. But I'm going to tell you, there's only one way. His name is Jesus. And if you don't take Him, you're going to die. You're going to drown. Are you imploring? Are you serious? Are you showing up? Are you reading your Bible? Are you taking the time to say, Lord, I want to know Your life, where You have me today, where You want me today, and where You want me to go tomorrow? Are you serious about that? Or are you just kind of go, listen, I'm in, I'm saved, I can't be unsaved, I'm going to heaven, so kick my feet up on a lounge chair, and let's have a good time until then. I'm going to tell you, that's where the church is today. That's where the church is today. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee it because the book of Revelation says that the last church, Laodicea, which is the age that we're living in, is the church of apathy. I don't care. It doesn't matter. So what? Let somebody else do it. I'm tired.
Not this church.
People come down here from up north and they don't want to do anything in the church because they're like, look, I was a Sunday school superintendent for 35 years. I come down here to retire in golf. I'm not doing it anymore. Really? Where did you see that in the Bible? Please give me chapter and verse because I'd like me some of that. The other day, Wednesday, was the first time I ever canceled our standing down on the corner. And yeah, if you're available, you ain't working, you should be there.
Absolutely.
Because what we're doing is they're holding up gospel signs and we keep changing them. Greg, I didn't tell my wife what you said about how long it takes to make a sign because I love you and I don't want you dead. But here's the thing. We change them. We're trying to tell the people out there the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I don't want to do it in the rain because we've been out there and it's misted a little bit. And all that cardboard with watercolor paints tends to stick together when they get wet. So on Wednesday, as I'm ready to load the signs in the truck, I'm going, I'm not doing this because it just ruins them. And it takes a long time to make the signs. So I texted everybody and I said, we've canceled for today. But I wanted to make sure that everybody got the text. And so I came down here to the corner. And then I pulled in to the Walgreens. Michael had forgotten his phone, so he didn't get the text. So I was glad that I went down and I let Mike, hey, Mike, take it easy. We're going to cancel today because of the signs and the rain, that kind of thing. As I looked down on the Verizon's parking lot, I saw a car that had pulled up in there. They were sitting right where I usually park my truck. Sitting right there. And they kept sitting there, facing 41, not Verizon. And a thought hit me in my head. I wonder if they're here because they wanted to join us. Maybe they're here because they have a question about Jesus. I don't know. They kept sitting there, and it was time for me to leave. I had to come over here and do some things. So I pulled out onto 41. I turned around and I went right past Vic's house, and I went there and I got to the point where I'm back out on Laurel Road down here, and I could go right to 41 and Verizon, or I could come left and go here. And inside myself, I'm going, gee, I'd really like to go to the church. It's probably nothing. Okay, so I turned right, and I went to Verizon, and I pulled up, and they rolled their window down. I said, are you here for the signs for Jesus? No, we're just waiting on my husband. Okay, have a nice day. Remember Jesus. Wound up my window, and I pulled out, and I went, why? Clear as a bell in the spirit. You know what he said? I just want to see if you do it. That's okay with me. My Lord is allowed to test me any way he wants.
Amen.
He can ask me to do anything. He's asked me to weed the garden, to trim the trees. He's asked me to pick up trash. He's asked me to do some of the darndest things. Just see if I'm listening and paying attention. You already read in the bulletin what my wife wrote. Galen will say it's true. If you're in the military, you spend most of your time training for something you never see. Isn't that right? Galen never went on a major mission and killed a million people because he was not in war time, and because of all the training, look where he is, look at his legs are gone because of training. Does the United States government have a right to ask the ranger to do that? You dang betcha. Does Galen have a right to say, nah, I have an excuse, I don't feel good today? How would that have gone over there, ranger? You'd have been out. And you know what? There's something to being called an Army Ranger. You don't want to be out. There's something to be called a Jesus guy. Get the rope. There's something to be called a Jesus guy. You don't want to be out. I was thinking of this morning, and I quickly texted everybody, and nobody who lives here in Florida has any fun because we work here. And so I asked, hey, does anybody have a ski rope? Does anybody have a ski rope? Nobody had a ski rope because, you know what? Thank you, Todd. I appreciate you so much. Nobody had a ski rope because nobody skis. You know, we don't have fun. We work down here, right? We work down here. Don't step on a rope, Ray. This is my show and tell, okay? How many here water skied? How many here water skied in the past? Yeah? Isn't that fun? It's tough to learn, isn't it? Tough to learn. So here's what I'm going to do. What's that? Pretend like it's a ski rope, okay? Pretend this is like a ski rope, okay? And then you have, what's that? Do you remember your bowline knots? Okay. If you've skied, you know what this is. The guy's in the boat. You always have a spotter. Tell me when he's ready. You ready? Okay, tighten up the rope. And the rope gets a little tight. Go! That's okay. The boat goes all the way around and comes back on, and you get the rope, you get the ski, and you get it again, and you sit there. I mean, I had skis that were like this wide, and I was so small, I mean, I could barely hold them together. It took all day for me to finally learn. The guy just kept, I'm going to teach this guy. You ready? Go. This is what Jesus wants you to do. He wants you to grab his rope. That's all. You are in the water. You are drowning. You are dying. There's no way out. His is the only way. But when you grab onto the rope, you're going to do everything he says, when he says, how he says it, period. And you're not to look at somebody else, how they're doing. You're just to do what he tells you to do. He wants you to kneel before him. He wants you to give him your life. And he wants you to be in his word, and he wants you to pick up his cross, and he wants you to follow him. And if you are following by holding on to the rope, you have no choice. You will be pulled behind where he takes you. And if he wants you to take you 41, he wants to take you to 41 just to see if you're willing to go, you go, yes, sir. And if you're not doing that, I mean, I'm imploring you. Come on. We started building a building over there. But that's not the goal. The goal is building this. So we need to overflow into that. But this isn't going to happen until that's not happening until we do our thing here. So are you going to grab the end and go or not? I want to see it done. But we got to get people in here. We still got too many seats. You understand what I'm saying? Do I need to say any more? Jesus said, if you don't love me first, if you don't hate everything second, you know what? You have no part of me. And I'm the only gig in town. Everything else leads to death. And I think that's a pretty good story to end on. Father God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. You are our Savior. You are the one running the boat. It's only you. I have my testimony that you have done everything for me you have said you have done. You're faithful 100%. Make us all answer your call, Lord. Help us to see that the best way is to follow you and do what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Mike, I don't even remember what we're singing now. Oh, yeah, it's Easter. You like this?
Bound for the gallows,
a dead man walking.
To love him calling. Rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up. 6 feet under, I thought it was over. And answered a prayer.
The voice of the Savior. Rise up.
Rise up, rise up, rise up.
Rise up.